Right. We are going to be this is actually going to be part two of the message. It's going to be continued from the last message that I was that I gave last time, which was actually Ephesians 4, and it was hopefully not too confusing. I was going through 1 through 6, but I decided to tackle the last 3 verses first of that, and then back up, and didn't realize that I needed to split that up even then again. And so the focus was 3 through 6, but right now we're really going to be looking at just diving into 1 Corinthians 12, which Zach read for us. So we're just going to dive in here in a minute. Let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for another opportunity that we just get to listen to you speak to us through your word, together as a family of Christ. Father, please just speak through me. Please get me out of the way and give me the clear mind to be able to speak, which I don't feel like I have right now, but you and your strength is greater than anything else. And so Father, may we learn or be reminded, be convicted or encouraged, or all of the above by this passage as you deem best for each of us. In Jesus' name, may it be so. 1 Corinthians 12. I want to, it's most of it, it's the passages that Zach read. I want to point out 3 main points in this chapter as it relates to us being united as one body of Christ, as the family of Christ. Let's see. First, I will read the first section. We're going to read first verses 4 through 12. It says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to them each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." All right, so I'll basically just remind you that Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 is where it simply says that we are, right, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one Lord, one, right? And so, as I intentionally emphasized some of that as we read through that passage. So we want to look here at overall. You could kind of, if you're taking notes, you can put on at the top, you can put as the body of Christ together, okay? And then I would put a colon, as the body of Christ together. And then I've got 3 main points we're going to look at. basically the idea of purpose, identity, and then basically how it fleshes out. And so the first one that stands out to me that I see here is the purpose for the common good. If you want to just put it in simple, very brief purpose, it's for the common good, right? To spell it out a little longer, it's the same Holy Spirit gifts us each differently. Why? For the common good. So that's the first point. Okay. It's for the common good that he does this, that we are together, the same Holy Spirit together as one body works through us as these many different parts, just like a body does, right? And in other words, you could say we are to, this is for us to work together as a body to build up and benefit each other. Right, so it's to work together as a body to build up and benefit each other. And I want to look at just a couple of sub points here first in this passage. So number one is that we humbly love each other to stay unified in peace. As it says in Ephesians 4, 2 through 3, 2 and 3, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So, number one, in this purpose, right? It's for the common good. All right, I said number one again, but basically what I mean is question what we want to, in order to apply this and to ask ourselves is, let's ask ourselves, am I focused on putting myself aside to love others above myself? Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, say, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. Again, notice this being one, same, right? Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, right? How can we be one together and united if we're being only selfishly focused, right? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, value others above yourselves. Each of you should not only look, or should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So am I focused on putting myself aside to love others above myself? I'm just going to leave that there for that one. The second subpoint is going to be much longer. I'm going to leave that aside because my next message will dive into that a lot more. But for now, the next part of our purpose, right, is or the purpose rather of being a body and the Holy Spirit working through the body with these different gifts that he gives us, each of us, is for the common good, right? Another thing we want to look at is encouraging each other with words, as it says in Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for others to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, one thing we can ask ourselves when looking at this is, when I speak, am I focused on, when I'm speaking with someone, with a brother or sister in Christ, Am I focused on their relationship with God? Am I focused on them as a person? And notice, this is, of course, in our culture, we tend to be way too individualistic. But notice the scripture says it's both, right? It's not just community, right? But it's also not just individual, it's both. And so in the same way, I mean, that's what this whole passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about, right? Is that you've got each part, right? Does its own thing, you got hands, you got feet, you got, you know, eyes, ears, all these things, right? And they're working together as a body. So it's, so, and in order for the body to work together, each part is doing its part, right? The body, or rather the brain, the head, that is Christ, right, is telling us, telling the parts what to do. And so we are to, we work together, taking care of each other, right? When something, you know, goes wrong with one part of the body, the other parts are taking over and trying to help, to help the other heal. All the different things that we're doing together. Like I said, when I speak to a sibling in Christ, am I focused on their relationship with God, right? Am I focused on them personally? Also, another thing we can ask ourselves is, how can I intentionally encourage this person according to their individual needs, right? Their individual needs. Because, again, the body is made up of many parts. At the Agros conference that I went to a few weeks ago, the guy who actually was running it, Joe, I want to say Bridgman, I think is his last name. Thank you. Yes, I'm right. thanks, Peter. He had that was actually the sermon that I posted. If any of you were able to listen to it on GroupMe, I had posted this sermon. It was on fellowship. And it was so good. It was so encouraging. He also gave up, they gave us a free book, from Nine Marks, from, Mark Dever's thing. That was really helpful too. I haven't gotten to read the whole thing yet, but, anyway, the idea, what he mentioned there, that fellowship means we want to, one important idea was that he mentioned, one of his points was that that fellowship is person-focused, right? And yeah, person-focused, word-focused, and I think another focus, I can't remember what it was. But person-focused, right? So that means fellowship, he says that fellowship means that we want to have our affections, right, focused on who they are, on who this person is, as an individual, right? So caring about their struggles and their gifts and even their likes and dislikes, you know, just doing life with them, right? Their responsibilities, right? It looks like so many different things, that hopefully between this message and last message and the next message, you know, we'll touch on all these different ways. But all these different ways of, you know, of keeping each other accountable, with, you know, sin struggles we have, of encouraging each other in Christ. This is what fellowship is. He kept mentioning, you know, the idea of like potluck, you know, the monthly potluck that apparently he had and we do too. And it's great. And I love it. And I love how much, you know, we fellowship, like, especially like after services and, you know, we stick around for like an hour. A lot of us are maybe not that long for some, you know, but we stick around and we hang out and, you know, the point is, we talk and, what we need to realize, what we need to keep in mind is, are we caring about them, about who they are inside? And not just, you know, what can I learn from them or what can I get from them? But are we caring about them personally? I want to look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8. This is actually a big part of the passage, or a part of the passage that Joe went over. It says, we were gentle among you, Paul says, we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, so they did share the gospel of God with them, not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Right, so we see this affection that they have, right? It's not just meeting every Sunday or even every Sunday or Wednesday, or for us it's every other Thursday or whatever. Like that's great. But getting in each other's lives, right? They and caring, genuinely caring about each other. It reminds me of Romans 12 as Chip was going over, I think it was last time he spoke. You know, this of being, having a sincere love. Also, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, or in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. I'm not reading the whole verse, but it talks about how we should warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. So, and he pointed that out, and I liked it. It was good, because notice, that's individual, right? With each of those, you got to see, oh, well, what does this person need? Are they timid at the moment? They need encouragement, right? Are they idle? They need warning, right? They need admonishment. Are they weak? They need help. They need encouragement in Christ, right? Scriptural encouragement, which we'll get to in a minute. Right. So it means individual, and again, it says be patient with everyone, right? So it is just a little bit points to, you know, that it's both individual and a whole. As Joe also pointed out there, he says true fellowship is scripture focused, or he said word focused. He said that many times our fellowship, he's talking about, you know, the church as a whole, is actually focused on our preferences, right? But family, this is not a social club, right? Right? Like it's different. It's different from a social club. And so we need to ask ourselves, how are you treating the family of Christ differently from what you would if you were just in a social club, right? One big way is that it should be different. One big way that it should be different is our talking together about what Scripture values, about what God values, what He cares about. So are we talking about our walk with God? You know, are we talking about maybe what we read in our quiet times, you know, throughout the week? Are we talking about, you know, maybe about the sermon, what we got out of it, or about our sin, or faith struggles? Are we talking about our eternal hope that we have in Christ, you know? Or as Joe mentioned, there in his sermon, would it be awkward in most of our conversations if someone broke out their Bible, right? Like that's something we need to look at. Each of us need to look at individually. And like you said, that doesn't mean, I really like chicken too. You know, Esau was a hairy man. Did you know? You know, like it's obviously, you know, that, not that, but it's looking at, again, what Scripture cares about, what God cares about according to Scripture. It means us bringing our convos, our conversations, in tune with what God says, what He cares about, and us choosing to care about that. You know, like one, you know, that I've noticed, because it was a big thing in my life that God has I think grown me in, at least some, is that, you know, the idea of like complaining or whatever, you know, and if someone says a complaint, you know, do we say nothing? Do we go along with them and complain too? Or do we say, you know, yeah, I struggle with that too, or I have, or something like that, you know, or, you know, but thank God for, you know, you know, for this. Thank God that he's gracious, you know, even though, you know, I do struggle with complaining, and he's forgiven us, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, obviously each circumstance is going to look a little different. So again, cause this one's a little long. So it's for the common good. That's the purpose. Okay. Is what we're looking at. This also means we serve and give and see ourselves as one, right? So in other words, do we see them? Do we see each person? And by the way, we're mostly talking about the local church family here in a lot of cases, I think, because, you know, they're the ones that we're closer with and we see more often. But it also applies. We also need to keep in mind as we're going through this and, you know, as I'm talking, we need to keep in mind the universal church as well, and how that might apply in each of our lives, how we might love our family of Christ and be one together. So do we see them as part of our family? Truly. We'll talk about a little more about this in my next point, but first let's look at Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It says that Christians in the church, in the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. Look at some of the words that it's using, right? All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's important. Praising God. That's crucial. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, yeah. Yeah, I would bet so, right? Because people saw people loving each other, like saw what Jesus had done for us, right? Like through, because it transforms us, right? It makes us want to love. It makes us want to hate our sin and work on, you know, like work on being together, you know, with people that we don't typically get along with, right? Or people that we're not very much alike. Sorry, I lost my spot. Give me one sec. So with that, do we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching together? Do we devote ourselves to the fellowship, breaking bread together, eating together with glad and sincere hearts, right? Not just eating together, but with glad and sincere hearts. Praising God, right? Together. Are we devoted to prayer together? I love how we do this, you know? I mean, even, I think part of it is even, you know, individually at home, we do it, but we do it because of the group me, right? And we're together, we're often like praying together, you know, it's like, okay, we see that. And you can tell like people are praying. And that's huge, you know, and then on Bible studies, you know, every time we devote a good bit to prayer. And I truly appreciate that. Are we filled with awe at God and what he's doing in us as a whole? And that's another thing. If we're not Are we reminding each other? Are we choosing to be intentional? Or, you know, of that? You know, God often reminds me of that, you know, in my family, just, you know, Sarah and our kids, like, am I stopping and thinking and just being aware of, wow, look at the kids, look at what God is doing in them. Look at, you know, just, and sometimes, oftentimes also he reminds me to be audible about it, you know, so that the kids and Sarah can also, join in with me. He reminded me on the way this morning, on the way here, you know, just being intentional to praise God together, to be in awe at God and what he's doing in us as a whole and around us. Also, are we meeting together constantly? I say constantly because there it said daily, and I do realize that this is a different culture. I think a big part of the difference is that we live so far away from each other, like even those of us who live, you know, 5 minutes away from each other, it's a 5 minute drive, you know? So it's much, much different, it seems, you know, than then. So I do get that, and we need to keep that into consideration, or put that into consideration with this. At the same time, the point is they were constantly getting together as much as they could. And this is another important part that Joe Bridgman was talking about at the Agros conference. Actually, the whole thing, it was called buying that field. And the idea was Jesus's parable of, you know, of selling everything. The guy sold everything he could, right? Or everything he had to get this field of this treasure. And there he was using this idea of, he kept talking about, what can we sacrifice, right? What can we give up and spend in order to invest more in, well, each of the things that the sermons did went over, but in this case, in fellowship, right? So I would ask you the same kind of thing. Could we be, maybe we could be thinking of ways we could possibly, maybe that we could possibly live closer together, or closer to each other, so that we could, you know, see each other more often and get in each other's lives. That's an idea, not something I shouldn't, you know, we should throw out. Also, are there things I could erase from my schedule so that I could spend more time focused on getting to know each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and getting into their lives and investing in their lives. You know, and again, that's what each of us, it's between us and God, what we need to, you know, but what, how we need to handle that. And, you know, we're not here to judge, you know, the others and say, well, they should have done this in this way. And, you know, but what I am saying is, let's, maybe we haven't done that. Like, let's do that. Let's stop and intentionally think, like, could we give up something in order to be able to spend more time with each other, with, you know, discipling each other and counseling each other and encouraging each other. Also, let's look at Acts 4, verses 23 through 35 that we did for the responsive reading. I do want to read over that again. It says, on their release, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink first. On their release, Peter and John went back to their, remember, they had just been persecuted, thrown into prison, and, you know, told not to preach the gospel. Okay. So on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Okay. And pay attention to some of the things I'm going to emphasize, certain words, if you would. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Right? Okay. Now remember, they were just persecuted. What are they raising their prayers, their voices together to do, right? In prayer for? What are they going to pray for now? In prayer to God, they said, "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." So they're praying together, right? Focusing on God's sovereignty together. So that's good and important. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." All right, I'm going to read that verse again. "Now, Lord, consider their threats." Right? They're saying, hey, we were just persecuted. We're struggling. We're feeling scared, right? I know what that's like. You know, Elliot and I were, I think, talking about that, or maybe it was someone else. Elliot was right there with, you know, when we're in Aggieville on a Friday night, right? Like, I can feel them. I know what they're, you know, going through. They're right. And so they say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Remember that, because it's going to come up after their prayer. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Sounds like they were really united, praying together, right? Like, we're scared, but God, help us, right? Together, they were praying this. They meant it, it sounds like, you know? I mean, really meant it. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, just as they asked God to give them the ability to do. And then they went out and they did it together, right? They went out and spoke the word of God boldly. It goes on, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." Sermon in a nutshell, this is it. Like, this is, wow. All the believers were one in heart and mind. "No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them." Why? Goes on. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need." Now, this was mentioned a little bit in the other Acts passage, and now we're going to dive into it a little more here. So, one thing is, do we, with this passage specifically, so do we see our things and our places, our homes, our, you know, places to stay, do we see them as belonging to Christ's family? And not just CTR even, right? Notice in Hebrews it talks about, you know, the some people have entertained angels unaware. Well, how did that happen except that they were clearly strangers, right? I mean, because they knew the people, you know, here, right? But they were unaware because they were strangers they were taking in. And also, then, so that's one point to look at with this. Also, are we together and having everything in common, even selling, not just this, right? But this is also one important idea to keep in mind, even selling our possessions to give to anyone in need. You know, I really appreciate that in CTR, like we, from my knowledge, according to my knowledge, I mean, we take care of each other in need. I've seen it in many different ways. It's great. And, you know, I've known of people, well, of different things, not exactly this, but different things happening here. And I do know of at least one instance here, and some others that have been recipients here as well, of, you know, like sometimes people, I've heard of Christians giving their own car to people, you know, who needed it. And it's like, wow, thank God. Like that's Christ's love, you know? But also something else for us, to keep in mind is should any of us sell some or all of our stuff maybe to help those in need? Very possibly, right? I think sometimes as Americans, we can just automatically, you know, look over that for some reason. Like that might be something we need to do. So will we at least go to God and ask? Will we be open, you know, have an open heart and mind and ask him, you know, should I do that? Is there someone in need, you know, that I can do without, you know, this, or, you know, let's keep it in mind. Let's look. And to be honest, something we have to keep in mind is at the very least is we are some of the richest people in the world, even the poorest among us, right, here in this country. So we've got to keep this in mind, you know, so we can probably sacrifice more to love more, just like similar to how Jesus has loved us, right? So that these are things to keep in mind, right? And here's a huge one. It also talks about there. Are we all one in heart and mind? We will talk more about this in the next message too, but I do want to touch on it some here. I won't pretend to know exactly what this looks like. I've talked with Pastor Nate about it some too, and you know, and I don't know, but I do think, not fully, but I will give some ideas here in a minute, but I do think this is really important for us to talk about and to think about together. You know, like, what does this look like? You know, we know some things it definitely doesn't look like, which we will talk about a little later. But also, you know, here we'll say, and it does seem to be, you know, in the context of, it could, since it's right there in the middle of things, it could possibly be talking about being bold together, and or the next part, which it seems to most people that it's at least talking about that, which, you know, it's again, sharing our things with each other. But then also in Acts 1:14 and Romans 15:6 and Acts 15 verses 22 through 25, and of course Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 6, this idea also focuses on other ideas like praying together, glorifying God together, specifically by being in harmony, right? Loving each other, being in peace together. It also, in these passages I mentioned, also focuses on this idea of deciding how the gospel teaches people to live, as the elders do there. And again in Ephesians 4, humbly loving each other to be in harmony, right? I know I said that, but I've got to say it again because it's there again. And it's very crucial. I mean, that's what this all comes down to, right? Is giving up ourselves, sacrificing, like, because Christ has sacrificed for us, and now we want to love in the same way. And that's how the body works together, right? So do we give up of ourselves to be to be one with our siblings? All right, that's another question we need to ask ourselves. Okay, so that was all the first, that was the longest, but that was the first main point, which was the purpose, right? That it was for the common good, okay? Of the Holy Spirit working through the purpose of, you know, him working through us as a body, okay? For the common good. That was the first point. Second point is a point of identity, okay? The second point is we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, okay? Let's read again verses 13 through 20 in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 20. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, right? One, okay? And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body. Well, that's good. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. All right. So again, second point is, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So this idea of one baptism, right? All being baptized into one body. Does that mean we're all baptized in the same way? Nope, right? But it does mean we are all identified as belonging to Jesus, and therefore as belonging to each other, right? Which we also see similarly in the communion. We're all identified as belonging to Jesus, right? So as a wise woman once told me, it's much like a wedding ring, right? It simply shows that I belong to someone, right? And so, similarly, baptism shows we belong to Christ and therefore to the body, to each other, right? So also the commentator Marvin R. Vincent says, he was actually talking about Ephesians 4, 5, verse 5, and he says, baptism is emphasized instead of the Eucharist because the latter assumes and recognizes unity as an established fact, while faith and baptism precede that fact and are essential to it. Baptism, moreover, is not administered to the church as a body, but to individuals, and therefore emphasizes the exhortation to each member to be in vital union with the whole body. Right? So this is an individual part, right, that shows, hey, I am to be a part of the body. And this reminds us, baptism reminds us of that. Also, in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12 that are read there, it says, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, right? Doesn't matter social status, doesn't matter your ethnicity or whatever, right? Whatever it is, you know, our gender, like, we're all one, right? Our background, whatever it is, we are all one. Let's see, Romans 12:5 mentioned, or you don't have to turn there, but as in Romans 12:5, it says that each member belongs to all the others. In Luke 8 verse 21, Jesus said that my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word. He's saying my family, in other words, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice, right? That is the family. Okay. So not just blood relatives. And there is definitely, that's important, right? God, you know, we need to take care of our beloved relatives, especially, you know, especially those in our household. But at the same time, we are to realize that we are family. Do we see each other in a similar way, you know, of close, and this is my brother, this is my sister. So we, again, the second point is we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. So in other words, as one body, we all belong to each other, right? So questions to ask ourselves, things to think about for application. So do we realize that we all belong to each other? Or do we not spend as much time on the people that don't have as much in common with us? Or that are harder for us to talk to or to get along with? Now again, remember this refers to the larger body of Christ as well as CTR, right? So both. And especially, usually, we would probably be able to spend more time and would want to invest more time in the local church family specifically, typically. And so another question, do we realize, so another one to go along with this is, do we keep each other accountable, right? Especially if they ask us to, right? This is a big problem in the Western church, especially, I'm familiar with, like, big problem. Many times people will say, and we need to do it intentionally anyway, but especially, like, many people will ask, I've seen it, I've seen it a lot. People will ask, I struggle with this. Will you please keep me accountable? And then they won't, like, no one will say it. And now it's still that person's responsibility, their sin, right? It's definitely their responsibility. At the same time, right, we are the body. So it's our responsibility too. We've got to realize, we've got to care enough to sacrifice for and take the time to do that, at the very least, to ask, hey, how you doing with that? You know? You know, to talk it through, to think about, what does Scripture say about this? How can I encourage them? How can I remind them of maybe strategies, maybe give them verses to meditate on or whatever it may be, right? So this is another good example of what we can do with this, with the fact that we all belong to each other, okay? Also, since we all belong to each other, like it says, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, do we intentionally try to get to know people who do think differently from us, or who come from different backgrounds as us? That's important. We need, it's a part of being the body of Christ. And especially, with people that we're just, it's too easy to get to spend more time with people that, that we have a lot in common with. It's just too easy to do. Not that that's bad. But let's also focus on others, right? Let's also focus on intentionally going out of our way to realize you're my brother, you're my sister. Even though I don't have anything in common with you, you know, or even though, boy, I really don't like how you, this one thing they do just really irks me, you know, or whatever it is. I love that at CTR that we are so diverse, with, as far as, I don't know, you want to call them personal convictions or whatever. I think I mentioned this maybe last time. I love it and that we can be united in Christ alone. However, another thing for us to keep in mind is it a unity that's based on never talking about our differences? If so, then that's not a healthy body either, right? So it's also important, that doesn't mean we have to talk about them all, and, you know, there's wisdom there, you know, in how this should look. But we do need to be able to gently talk about things and say, you know what, let's, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on this. You know, what, you know, maybe I'm wrong, or, you know, hey, let's talk through it together. Let's figure out, you know, what, this is how God, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? As Ecclesiastes says, this is how God wants to grow us. So will we be also be determined to talk in love through our differences, in order to grow? It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if this makes sense in the analogy, but it reminds me kind of if a leg is broken, right? You may need to get on crutches, right? Your arms and shoulders and the muscles here and your hands have to do different work and more work now in order for your leg to eventually heal, right? Because you're on crutches, right? And so it kind of reminds me of that, because it's the idea of you know, will we sacrifice, will we put, you know, things, will we do what we can to help, you know, to do, I mean, a lot of this is just, sometimes these are hard conversations to have, you know, and there have been times that I'm like, man, honestly, there have been times on both sides. But there have been times that, you know, that I'm like, man, I really should have said something. I should have just asked, you know, but I was afraid. And then there's other times for sure. And you guys have been, a lot of you have been very patient with me, that I've said things that I shouldn't have said, and I wish I hadn't, you know? And, you know, and that's, again, the beauty of the body of Christ, right? That we get to bear with each other in love, that scripture says we get to love each other. Okay. Next point in this second main point is, you know, that we all belong to each other, right? We're all baptized in one spirit, one body. So the other question I want us to ask is, do you ever feel discouraged that maybe because you're not as good or whatever at some, you know, as someone else, you know, at doing certain things, or, you know, or do you ever feel discouraged? If so, your father encourages you here, right? In this passage. I love it. I love it how in verse 18, he says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts just as he wanted them to be, right? And he says, you don't, right? You think, oh, well, I'm not an eye, so I'm not good enough. You know, it's like, no, we all belong to each other. Okay. Third and last point is, we're going to look at verses 21 through 27. It's, so as, again, as we are one body in Christ, we're going to see that we're going to see him, say, don't be divided. In other words, we need each other. Okay. We're going to see that idea that we need each other. Don't be divided. Okay. Verse 21 through 27, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So this is an issue, again, of how it fleshes out, right? We're one body. That means we need each other. We are not to be divided. Right? So some questions to apply, right, to our lives, to our mind. Let's think about these. Are you arguing or complaining about your sibling in Christ? If so, Philippians 2, 13 and 14 says you don't want to do that, right? You have the Holy Spirit inside you. So if that is ever a struggle for you, what is it that you need to humbly let go of, right? Or maybe you're not arguing with them. Maybe you're just looking down on them, or, you know, just kind of avoiding them and not focusing on spending as much time being with them and in their lives. John Calvin says, one divine invitation being addressed to all, they ought to be united in the same profession of faith and to render every kind of assistance to each other. Oh, were this thought deeply impressed upon our minds, that we are subject to a law which no more permits the children of God to differ among themselves than the kingdom of heaven to be divided. How earnestly we should cultivate brotherly kindness. How should we dread every kind of animosity if we duly reflected that all that separates us from brethren estranges us from the kingdom of God. Brother, sister, this idea of not being in fellowship with a sibling in Christ because we don't get along is not biblical, right? This idea that, you know, oh, I have to love them, but I don't have to like them, you know, it's not the Spirit-filled love of Jesus. Now, I will say, you know, if by that we mean, you know, well, we don't have warm, fuzzy feelings, and so, but I'm still going to choose to love them and do what's best for them, then yes, that's true. But if we mean, you know, well, I really can just have problems with them, you know, but, you know, I'm loving them, you know, it's like, you know, that's obviously not the love of Christ, and that is not being the body of Christ. So brothers and sisters, may we not grieve the Holy Spirit like this. Now, let me also caveat that by saying that this doesn't mean everyone will all be just as close to every single person, right? I mean, we can't all be close to everyone in the same way. You know, and even Jesus had, you know, he had a whole bunch of people following him. We don't know how many exactly, but at least a small crowd. All the time. And then he had 12, right? And then even within that, he had three, right? James, John, and Peter, that it seemed were even closer, and maybe even Peter, even especially maybe. So there is that. But we do have the Holy Spirit living inside us, and we do therefore want to keep this in mind, and you know, that If we're hardly ever having close relationships, or even, you know, conversations, trying to a little bit, you know, get into their lives, you know, having fellowship with someone, if we're hardly ever doing that with someone, you know, in our local church family, that, you know, then we need to ask ourselves, you know, what Paul says next, right? And he says in verse 25, am I having equal concern for each person? Do I care about their soul? John Calvin also said, there is one body. He proceeds to show more fully in how complete a manner Christians ought to be united. The union ought to be such that we shall form one body and one soul. These words denote the whole man. we ought to be united, not in part only, but in body and soul.